It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Wolf Banesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Football Friday. I am your host, Colbert, inside the Shirley Street studio. It is October 27 of 2023. The round of 16 of the high school football playoffs taking place in all classes this evening. Kickoff for all games coming up at 7 tonight, and we will get you the matchups of all of our metro and area teams that are competing. Coming up here in just a few short moments during area sports news and scores. First things first, however you are tuned in, I appreciate it very much. You got options, 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter or X at 1650KCNZ. I'm on X at Real Colbert, and like the Facebook page. Type in 1650 The Fan. You'll find us. Hammer that like button. You'll get more local and statewide sports content in your Facebook feed. And you could go one step further. Just go right to the website. That's where all that content exists, 1650thefan.com. Bookmark it. Make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. Number of ways to connect with the show, as I mentioned before, you can tweet at me, tweet at 1650KCNZ, send our Facebook page a message. You can dial up the show, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, with any questions or comments you'd like to add to the program, or you can dial 800-913-9479, or, yes, more options, you could email address Cole at 1650thefan.com. All right, coming up today on the show, as I mentioned, we'll get to area sports news and scores. A lot to get to on a Friday in the stack with high school football playoffs continuing on tonight. We've got some results from the Class 4A co-ed state cross-country meet earlier today. Some good performances for the Cedar Falls Tigers. A lot to get to, as I mentioned, in the stack, and we'll do so in just a bit. After we're done there, we take timeout number one, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Friday, looking into tomorrow and Sunday. We come back on the other side of the break in segment two, and friend of the show, Rob Gray, colleague of mine at the Cedar Rapids Gazette, does a great job covering Iowa State football. Follow him on X at Rob W. Gray. And we're going to break down Iowa State's game at Baylor tomorrow. A big-time Big 12 battle for the Cyclones if they want to continue to have them be a part of the conversation here in a tightly contested Big 12. Cyclones sitting 3-1 in conference play. I think Baylor 3-4 overall, 2-2. In the Big 12, so a much-needed W for the Bears tomorrow, and Rob will join us to break that all down. If time permits, we'll talk some Iowa State men's basketball, as well as a week from this Monday is going to be the Iowa State men's basketball season opener. That is November 6th, Green Bay will be at Hilton Coliseum for that season opener. And, of course, you'll hear it right here on your official station for Cyclone Nation, 1650 The Fan. After we're done talking Iowa State with Rob, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. Get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during that break. We'll come back on the other side in segment three. And on a Football Friday, Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast will join. We'll talk a little bit with Logan about, I want to pick his brain on the Minnesota-Iowa game last Saturday, fair catch gate, if you will, and also look ahead to UNI Illinois State, talk a little Iowa State-Baylor with Logan. I want to get his Heisman rankings. It is week nine of the college football season. Quite a bit has happened. And I want to see where Logan's got his Heisman rankings right now. So we'll do that. We'll talk briefly about week eight of the NFL. Anything in particular in the National Football League that has our attention. And then, as always, we'll make our picks of the weekend. I've been hitting pretty good so far this season. So, you know, I think if you've been fading me, you're behind. You're losing. You're catching L's. So, I mean, I say that, and I'm sure I just jinxed myself, but I got three games, three picks, like usual, and I feel pretty gosh darn good about them, so make sure you stick around. Segment three with Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast will try to put some money in your back pocket with picks of the weekend. After we're done with Logan, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, and then come back for a final time and wrap up this Friday edition of the show. Coming up later tonight here on The Fan, of course, Waterloo Blackhawks hockey. Pregame coverage begins at 6:45. I'll get you more details in just a bit. Meanwhile, tomorrow on The Fan, quick programming note, Iowa State-Baylor, that's going to be on Cruising KCFI due to that late afternoon kickoff, and therefore that game intersecting with Waterloo Blackhawks hockey tomorrow night. So Iowa State football on Cruisin' tomorrow. We are able to get a college football game, an earlier kick here on The Fan tomorrow. ACC football, Clemson at North Carolina State. That is a 12:30 pregame with a 1 o'clock kick tomorrow here on The Fan. And we've got an NFL triple header for you on Sunday. And it'll all begin at 11:30 in the morning with pregame coverage of the Atlanta Falcons in the Music City to take on the Tennessee Titans. Kickoff, of course, at noon of that one. That game will be followed up by a great matchup as Brock Purdy, maybe, possibly, if you were tuned in to Rich Eisen, Brock Purdy's been in concussion protocol this week, but has made a lot of progress in that protocol. And there is an outside chance that he could start for the 49ers on Sunday afternoon when they play host to Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. If Brock Purdy does not make the start, it'll be Sam Darnold for the Niners. And, of course, you know you love it. The Sunday Night Football matchup you've been waiting for all season. My Chicago Bears in prime time. It's about damn time in Hollywood, in L.A., to take on the Chargers at SoFi Stadium. So we'll see. We'll see if the Bears can avoid national embarrassment Sunday night when Tyson Bagent and the Bears go to L.A. to take on the Chargers, a 6:30 pregame and a 7:20 kick. So, and you can always check out all the games that are going to be airing well into the future at the website, 1650thefan.com. Just hover over the on-air tab on the homepage, and then one of your options is broadcast calendar. Click on that broadcast calendar. You'll be able to see what games we got and on what station they're on, and that includes all of our stations here, as, of course, 93.5 The Mix, now your new home for UNI football and men's basketball. All of those games are on the broadcast calendar at 1650thefan.com. UNI volleyball and women's basketball over on 106.5 Corn Country. Those games on the broadcast calendar. We've got the I got the Iowa State men's and women's basketball games that we will air on the broadcast calendar. So there you go. It's your one-stop shop to know what you can listen to here on The Fan and on all of our other stations. And, of course, Cedar Falls Tiger football, which will soon give way to to boys and girls basketball over on Cruisin' KCFI. Those as well on the broadcast calendar. All right, let's dive right in here. Area sports news and scores for your Friday. The high school football playoffs kick off at 7 tonight, as I mentioned before. Round of 16 in all classes. Beginning an 8-player, Don Bosco at home against Waco. Clarksville plays host to Iowa City. Gladbrook Rhinebeck plays at Central City. In Class A, Wapsie Valley plays host to Maquoketa Valley. In Class 1A, Waterloo Columbus travels to South Hamilton. Top-ranked Grundy Center plays host to Pella Christian. Dyke New Hartford on the road at Sigourney Keota. And Sumner Fredericksburg visits Emmitsburg. In Class 2A, Union at Van Meter. And Jessup on the road at Monticello. In Class 3A, Independence plays at Mount Vernon. And finally, in Class 5A, the number 6 Cedar Falls Tigers playing host to number 7 Cedar Rapids Kennedy at the Unidome, a matchup of a game from just 2 weeks ago in the regular season. And this is going to be a tough one for the Tigers tonight. Pregame coverage with Dave Finnegan over on Cruisin' KCFI begins around 6:25. And as I mentioned, all games kick at 7 o'clock tonight. Earlier today at the co-ed state cross country meet in Fort Dodge, both the Cedar Falls boys and girls competed in Class 4A competition. Tiger girls finished 14th. Josie Simonson had the highest placing finish. She was 50th. The Cedar Falls boys team finished 2nd behind Dowling Catholic. Maroons finished with 72 points, the Tigers 84. Cedar Falls sophomore Jaden Merrick placed 2nd individually with a time of 15 minutes, 13.4 seconds. For the second consecutive Friday, the Waterloo Blackhawks are playing host to the Lincoln Stars. Last Friday, the Hawks won an exciting 4-3 overtime shootout over the Stars. Waterloo is going for its 4th straight win tonight. You can hear the coverage right here on your home for Blackhawks hockey on The Fan. Pregame 6:45, opening faceoff at 7:05. The red-hot UNI volleyball team is back at home this weekend. The Panthers playing host to Illinois State tonight and Bradley tomorrow at McLeod Center. UNI is riding a 12-match winning streak. The Panthers lead the Missouri Valley with an 11-0 record. Pregame coverage begins on 106.5 Corn Country at 5:45. First serve is at 6. The UNI football team is on the road tomorrow at Illinois State. Panthers are coming off their best game of the season, a 27-0 homecoming win over then number 9 North Dakota last Saturday. UNI is 4-3 overall, 3-1 in the Missouri Valley Conference, good for second place. Illinois State, 4-3 as well, 2-2 in the MVFC. Pregame coverage on 93.5 The Mix begins at 11 tomorrow morning, kickoff at noon. Meanwhile, the Iowa State football team returns to action after its bye week at Baylor tomorrow. Clones are looking for their first win in Waco since 2017. It's been a tight series. The last four meetings between the two schools have been decided by one possession. Cyclones 3-1 in the Big 12, Bears 2-2. Pregame coverage on Cruisin' KCFI tomorrow, 1250 AM, 105.1 FM, begins at 12:30, kickoff at 2:30. The third-ranked Wartburg football team plays host to Central tomorrow in Waverly. The Knights lead the American Rivers Conference with a 6-0 record and can clinch a share of a conference title with a victory over the Dutch. Central is 4-1 and tied for second place in the ARC. Wartburg has won their last 22 home games. Kickoff is at 1 tomorrow. And in case you missed it, last night here on The Fan, Josh Allen passed for 2 touchdowns, ran for another. Buffalo held off Tampa Bay 24-18 last night in Thursday Night Football. Josh Allen finished with 324 yards passing. The Bills now 5-3. Tampa Bay losing its third straight, now 3-4. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast for the rest of this Friday, looking into tomorrow and Sunday. We'll come back on the other side. We'll talk Iowa State football, maybe a little men's basketball if time permits. Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette joins us next right here on a Football Friday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Beyer.
49ers and Bengals have met in the Super Bowl a couple of times, and this Sunday they'll meet in Santa Clara with Brock Purdy listed as questionable for the game for the Niners. The quarterback remains in concussion protocol but was able to practice fully today. He would need to be cleared from protocol to be able to play on Sunday. Bears quarterback Justin Fields will miss his second straight game because of a thumb injury. Rookie Tyson Bagent will make his second straight start Sunday night as they take on the Chargers in L.A. No Ryan Tannehill for the Titans, out against the Falcons because of an ankle injury. A neck injury will force Giants quarterback Daniel Jones to miss their showdown with the Jets. Tyrod Taylor will get the start for the Giants. Cardinals are listing quarterback Kyler Murray as doubtful for their Week 8 showdown with the Ravens as he tries to come back from ACL surgery. Game 1 of the World Series is tonight on Fox. First pitch just after 8 o'clock Eastern. It's the Diamondbacks taking on the Rangers. Zach Gallen on the mound for Arizona. Nathan Eovaldi will pitch for Texas.
Get maximum sports. Lock your radio to 1650 The Fan.
K-Tank in Janesville supports National Red Ribbon Week.
Hi, my name is Ava Schmidt, and I'm a fifth grader at Aldrich. Talk to your kids about drugs. Talking with us is one of the best things you can do to help us live a drug-free lifestyle. Wear a red ribbon and join us during Red Ribbon Week this week.
This message brought to you by K-Tank in Janesville. It pays to buy K's.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
My father bought my mother one of those weapons-grade jackhammer massage guns. Have you seen these things? No training of any kind. My father just aimed it at my mother's shoulder and hit the trigger. Wasn't good. It just gathered up her skin like pancake batter.
From What a Joke with Papa and Fortune and a scene on Netflix, Tom Papa Live in his 2023 comedy tour. Friday, November 3rd, the Gallagher Blue Dorn. Tickets are on sale now at gbpac.com.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
Baseball action this week. It is the World Series game number one on Friday night. Texas will host Arizona. The Rangers, the favorite in game one at home, -165. Over-under is at 8.5. Chicago Bears are set to play in Los Angeles against the Chargers for Sunday night football this week. The Bears will enter as the road underdog at +8.5. The over-under is set at 46.5. Iowa State on the road this week. They'll play at Baylor. The Cyclones are the road favorite, -2.5. The over-under is 47.5.
I'm John Thayer with the VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. A freeze warning begins at 11 p.m. tonight and continues until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Mainly cloudy tonight with a low of 29. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for mixed precipitation tomorrow, highs around 39. Overcast, mixed precipitation possible at times again. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 29. Overcast skies. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 37.
Cole & Company, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan mobile app.
First down and 10, Iowa State in the Case IH red zone at the 13-yard line. Beck from the shotgun. There's the snap. Rocco spins to his right, looks downfield, throws to the end zone, has a man. Touchdown! Steve O'Klotz with a leaping catch. And he is the third different Cyclone tight end that they've thrown it to in the end zone today.
Yeah, that was from Iowa State's 30-10 win at Cincinnati 2 weeks ago as the Cyclones were able to enjoy a bye week this past week. And now, back out on the road in the Big 12 at Baylor. And to break it down, we're joined now by our friend Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Does an outstanding job covering Cyclone football. Rob, thanks so much for being here. How are you on a football Friday?
I'm doing all right. It's always great to be with you, Cole. I do have to fill in with some friends at Ankeny Fanatic in a high school playoff game on the road at Joaquin Northwest tonight. So it's going to be a busy night for me after we're done talking.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your time as always. And I don't know if you can say Joaquin Northwest too many more times, because the Cedar Falls High School volleyball team is taking them on Monday at the state tournament, Rob. So just be careful, okay?
Okay, yeah. I that's the last they'll be mentioned.
All right. Okay, let's look back at that Cincinnati win, 30-10. It may feel like eons ago, Rob, after the bye week, but another impressive performance, another considerable step forward for this young Iowa State team. What's still front of mind for you looking back at that impressive win over the Bearcats?
I think to me what was most impressive was the way they were able to run the ball reasonably effectively. I think they only had about 123, 124, 125 yards, somewhere in there. But Cincinnati's second in the Big 12, averaging 100 a game. And, yeah, they haven't won a game, but, you know, Oklahoma only beat by 14. Obviously, we saw Oklahoma eke one out against UCF, who's still winless as well. So the league's looking a little bit more competitive top to bottom than heading in to last week. But and the defense, I mean, Emory Jones can be a problem for Cincinnati. They more or less took him out of the run game. Cincinnati was unable to get much traction there, and then, you know, we forced him into some mistakes in the passing game, which he's prone to. So it's a complete win. I mean, did they dominate that Cincinnati team? I mean, we saw him last week. Baylor got him by three, you know, got a lead, and Cincinnati came back on him. So the record might have indicated that Cincinnati's generally able to hang in there at least, but Iowa State did not allow that to happen on homecoming a couple weeks ago there at, against the Bearcats.
No, they did not. And, you know, they take the momentum from that win into a bye week. And, Rob, we've talked plenty about what this team's working on. How about looking at it this way? If there was one or two things where if this team is performing just a little bit better by benefit of a bye week moving forward, where do you think Matt Campbell, if he could, you know, basically say, okay, I'd pick that thing or I'd pick this thing?
Yeah, I think on each side of the ball, I mean, you got to look at the offensive line continuing to improve. I mean, they were unable to run block at all, obviously, the first, you know, throughout the non-con, and not that well against Oklahoma State, but then they used the pass to spread it out a little bit to open up the run and, you know, just to do enough damage with the run that Rocco Beck could go to work that game and beat the Cowboys, who have won three straight since. You know, they've made a lot of progress at the 215-yard breakout performance with TCU. Again, a very solid performance against Cincinnati last week, and of course, 121st half yards in the Oklahoma game where they just couldn't stop Oklahoma. They were 21-20, and then the bottom kind of fell out. So that offensive line is rapidly improving. You take a bye week where you can go back to some basics and really drill on some of the fundamentals of the zone scheme that they're trying to run and that some guys struggled with early on. That's, I think, going to be very valuable for the team going forward. And then continuing to get pressure from the linebackers. And in the last few games, they've used Zach Lovett, that transfer from Missouri, to kind of spy opposing quarterbacks. This could be the case again this week with Blake Shapen, a very mobile quarterback that banged up earlier in the year for Baylor. He's had 2.5 sacks in the last three games. And while they haven't been able to get that much pressure from their three-man front, they really brought it with linebackers and occasionally safeties. So it kind of starts up front for both sides, and if they can continue to make steady strides there, I mean, I think anything can happen over the last, five games of the regular season.
And how about the personnel workload with that run game, Rob? Do you think that at this point it's like, yeah, you could call Eli Sanders the one, Abu Samuel 1B, Cartavius Norton 1C, or do you think that like that remains kind of fluid, like the coaching staff is just going, you guys tell us, you know, who should be number one at this point now entering week 9? What do you think the approach is there on what continues to be, as I think, you know, you're touching on before, a work in progress. They're manufacturing a run game. But how do you see it in terms of the personnel workload moving forward?
Yeah, well, Thurman got hurt a little while back, and I think that limited his carries. So it kind of reverted to maybe Cartavius 1B. I still feel like there's a little bit of a hot hand scenario that could play into this. Eli Sanders has really shown himself in his sophomore season to be a really well-rounded back and a patient runner. That's been a key for Iowa State when they tried to running backs. David Montgomery, Brees Hall, very patient but explosive. And we saw that with Eli. Of course, you see explosiveness with Usama and Tarkavius to some degree as well. He's had some really nice runs. And can't forget Carson Hanson. I mean, they try to work him in a series or two, and he's shown some things too. So I think it will still be a committee, but I think it's a committee that at this point looks like will lean most heavily on Eli Sanders given his extra year in the system. Yes, Norton has one too, but he was banged up most of last year.
We haven't talked about special teams yet, and I would say maybe, Rob, that the past, what, 4 or 5 seasons at least, that during the bye week, special teams would have been a priority. So by nature of that, like, put your professor's hat on here and give us a letter grade for Iowa State special teams, because it hasn't been perfect, but it's been better. What would your letter grade be for the special teams, you know, at the bye week?
Well, to grade them on a curve based on the last couple seasons, A+.
Okay.
To grade them just objectively compared to other units, I would say for sure a solid B. I mean, Chase Contreras has come in and 12 of 16 on field goals, including some long ones. He's been solid. They've been solid with a couple different guys handling kickoffs, getting touchbacks. They're probably at or past the amount of touchbacks they had all of last season.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big component. You know, the punting's been rock solid. Tyler Perkins maybe had one not-so-good game, but otherwise his numbers are great. Now obviously, they're getting blocks now and manufacturing points with the coverage units. And then, you know, as well in the coverage on kicks and punts has been excellent. So, I mean, a very much solid B, maybe a B-plus if you were to just grade them looking at everyone else in the country, but just a massive upgrade. And, you know, credit a lot to Jordan Lang is coming in, helping out with the running game as a special teams coordinator, which they haven't had recently. But it seems like the last couple of years there was always something going wrong in the special teams that that contributed to those many close losses. And now you're seeing special teams kind of create positive momentum for the team for the first time in a long time.
Rob Grave, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, our guest right now on a Football Friday edition of Cole & Company. Follow him on X at Rob W. Gray. He'll have coverage of Iowa State football at Baylor tomorrow. And, Rob, before I ask you about the Bears, I think about a first-year play caller, offensive coordinator in Nate Shieldhouse, and then a first-year starter in Rocco Becht at quarterback, and a tandem there, basically, that have been making steady improvement. I would imagine Nate Shieldhouse would probably say, you know, he's been improving there with Rocco, you know, calling the plays and getting to know him and what's best for him in this offense. And I would imagine that I think it'd be fair to anticipate a bump here going forward by nature of what could be done during a bye week. Do you anticipate that perhaps we'll see even more put on Rocco Beck's plate, or perhaps just more so like not being as hesitant to let him be aggressive?
Yeah, I think they've really accelerated that, idea of letting Rocco be more aggressive. And at the same time, it's because of trust. And Rocco had some high-profile interceptions, especially particularly in the non-conference. He's got an 8-2 touchdown to interception ratio in conference play. He's told us, as reporters during Tuesday's availability, that just he's getting to be much more savvy and being able to process really quickly how, you know, whether he's got to tuck and run or whether he's got to just throw a ball away. Like, get through a few progressions, if you see the pressure coming, just throw it away. And we're seeing him be more efficient. the trust also comes in letting Rocco take some more chances, too, on a big fourth down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he ran it more than he ever has against Cincinnati, which is, I think, a big component to that running game. If you have a true RPO option in him, and it's not just always handing it off or doing something else. He has, yes, the playbook has opened up a little bit for him, but that's just commensurate with the, you know, he's shown that he can be trusted to make the right decisions. And, yeah, is there another bump along the way? But there usually is for just about any quarterback. Mm-hmm. But as long as he can mostly stay consistent in that regard, I would say he's going to have a chance as an offense to put up some points against some of these teams that, like Baylor, that really struggle on the defensive side of the ball uncharacteristically.
Let's talk a little bit more about the Baylor Bears. Kickoff of Iowa State at Baylor, 2:30 tomorrow. What will the Bears, in terms of the challenges they'll present Iowa State, what's going to be the biggest one, Rob?
I think the biggest one is the quarterback, Blake Chapin. He had an MCL injury early in the season. He missed three games, including the Big 12 game, but thrown 300-plus his last two games. He's a threat to score in the run game as well, or just to extend drives, too. Not a really tall guy, I think about 6 foot, but he's you know, about 215 pounds. And just a guy who had a lot of experience last year, kicked some lumps last year. I think he had 18 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. That's your second most interceptions behind Hunter Deckers, you know, former Iowa State starter who had more touchdown passes, too. So that's where I think, again, Zach Lovett or whoever they tab to keep an eye on the quarterback at all times might be big. Because, you know, Emory Jones he hasn't always shown it, particularly in the passing game, but he can really take over in the run game. Chapin's not the same type of player. He's got better weapons in the receiver room, I think. So you got to avoid the big play. You got to stop Chapin from extending lives with his legs. You know, Bayless Hampton will run the ball well. Richard Reese is back. Was really good for them last year. I think they're struggling up front on both sides of the ball. And, again, I'm characteristic for Dave Aranda's team with Baylor. I mean, they won the Big 12 championship a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So, the fans are restless there in Waco, and Iowa State can keep playing the way that they've been playing, particularly in controlling the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. They could end up being quite a bit more restless by the time Saturday 6 p.m.-ish rolls around and the game's over.
Iowa State, a 3-point favorite, and if I'm not mistaken, that line opened up with Baylor, a small favorite. So, Rob, for whatever that might be worth, you got your prediction submitted to thegazette.com. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I think if Iowa State plays the way it has been playing, they're just a more fundamentally sound team than Baylor. Both teams have a lot of youth. I think Iowa State has more depth, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. Baylor's secondary is really young, but talented. You know, if you can exploit some of those guys, take advantage of their overeagerness and aggressiveness, I think unless Iowa State all of a sudden starts to lose the turnover battle, and again, they've been excellent in that area this year, tied for 10th nationally, mm-hmm. plus 7 overall, that they're going to come out with a win. So I got them predicted, I believe, 24-17. I got a touchdown win that'll be tense throughout, but a game that the Cyclones should, and I expect it will control, again, unless some of those old problems, which persisted for a long time, pop up, which can always happen.
Rob, thanks so much, as always, for your time and your great breakdown of Iowa State football. Appreciate it. We'll be following along with your coverage tomorrow and hopefully enjoying a Cyclone win. Thanks, Rob.
Yep, great to talk to you, Cole. Take care, my man.
Likewise. Take care, Rob. Rob Gray, great colleague of mine at the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Follow him on X at Rob W. Gray. All right, let's take this next time out. Quick reminder, though, that Iowa State football game on Cruisin' KCFI tomorrow. So a 12:30 pregame on Cruisin' KCFI, 1250 AM, 105.1 FM, and a 2:30 kick. Okay, let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim coming up during the break. We'll come back on the other side and be joined by Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast. We'll talk college football week 9, get into a little UNI Illinois State talk. We'll talk NFL week 8. I want to get Logan's Heisman rankings now that we're all the way to week 9. Of the college football season, and of course, we will make our picks of the weekend. That's all next, right here on a Football Friday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Iowa State looks to maintain at least a share of second place in the Big 12 tomorrow with a visit to Baylor. The Cyclones have won three of their last four games, and Coach Matt Campbell says Baylor's also playing better after a slow start. Both teams are coming off victories at Cincinnati.
They used their bye week really well. I think they kind of went back to work on who they wanted to become, how did they put their playmakers in position to make plays, and came out clicking on all cylinders. And then I think defensively, they're a football team that has a lot of veteranness. They've got that veteran D-line, linebacking core, guys that have played a lot of good football there and been successful.
It's a 2:30 kickoff in Waco. UNI takes a 3-1 Missouri Valley Conference record on the road to Illinois State. The Redbirds are 2-2. They've won the last two games in the series. Drake takes a 4-0 Pioneer Football League race into a game at home against Stetson. The Bulldogs have won seven straight in conference play. This is Radio Iowa.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
The Cedar Falls School District would like to take this opportunity to congratulate the boys' golf team's strong finish at the Mississippi Valley Conference meet at Airport National Golf Course in Cedar Rapids last month. Tigers tied for third place with a 267. Special recognition going out to Evan Schofield, who finished second with a 63. Schofield was also awarded first team all-conference, while second team all-conference titles went to Anthony Galvin and Drew Larimer. Honorable mention went out to Graham Bremner. The Cedar Falls School's Mission of Excellence covers all areas of the student experience, from academic to athletic and beyond. The Cedar Falls School District is committed to a tradition of excellence. Moreover, upholding their tradition of excellence is a product of the collaboration between our families, our community, and our schools. Cedar Falls Tigers, you're amazing. We're so proud of you. Go Tigers!
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Want your home's furnace to stay safe and reliable? And want to prevent any potential problems before they happen? At your local 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning, we recommend an annual furnace inspection and tune-up. Call 855-1-HOUR, because not taking care of your furnace, that's just cold.
Your comfort is just a call away. Call 1-HOUR.
Terms and conditions may apply. Call for details. Independently owned and operated. Licensed in the respective state or county.
Buying pre-owned just got better with the Caldwell Commitment. Now, all qualifying pre-owned vehicles come with a 12-month, 12,000-mile comprehensive warranty and a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Plus, you get a vehicle history report, our 117-point inspection, and even a complimentary paint and glass protection to keep your new ride shining like the day you bought it. And when it's time for maintenance, ask about our pickup and delivery service. Bill Caldwell Ford, clearly a better place.
Monday afternoon on the Fan's coverage of Cedar Falls State Tournament Volleyball. It's a quarterfinal matchup in Class 5A as the 6-seed Tigers take on the 3-seed Waukee Northwest. John Swisher here inviting you to join me and former West Delaware volleyball coach Joan Salo for all of the play-by-play action as the Tigers look to claw their way past the Wolves and advance to the semifinals. Pre-match coverage around 2:10 on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, the 1650 The Fan app, and 1650thefan.com stream.
Cole & Company with Colbert on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Football Friday edition of the show continues. We're joined now by Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast, and Logan's Bills got a 24-18 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night, but man, Logan, I think probably the quickest way I could put it is that Your Bills have been kind of Jekyll and Hyde this season, and even when things are going well, it's like they kind of find a way to make it not go not so well. I mean, they're kind of frustrating because the talent's there, but that engine ain't quite running on all cylinders.
I think their main issue right now is that they're trying to, like, leash up Josh Allen. Like, you've seen it throughout his career where they're kind of like, Sean McDermott's like, hey, calm down, calm down, calm down. But now that Sean McDermott's got a little bit more say in the offense, since there's question marks around Ken Dorsey, they're really doing it. Like, I remember the Jets game, like, that first interception he threw where he rolled out to the left and had an open lane to pick up the first down on, like, 3rd and 8 or something. He decided to launch it downfield. That's Josh Allen that we've seen in the past. He's picking up 20 yards on the run play, maybe even scoring a touchdown. Who knows, given how he used to be able to run the ball. They can kind of like, I don't have any other way to put it. I mean, my dad and I always talk, it's kind of like they just like neutered him or something. It was just like the Josh Allen that we saw wasn't there. He was putting up good numbers, but the way he was playing was just completely different. And then last night you kind of saw the old Josh Allen back. Like they ran a quarterback sneak or quarterback draw on the second play of the game. Josh Allen was running the ball more in this game. It was like, this is what I need to see from Josh. And the interception rolling out to the right after he gets checked out for a shoulder injury is not necessarily the smartest move in the world. But I thought they ran more of an offense that I would like to see, what I expect to see. But, again, like you said, it's Jekyll and Hyde. They'll do some really good things on offense. Like, man, there's nobody that could stop this team. And then, like they did on the 1 yard line, run a shotgun screen play from the 1 yard line when you have a 250-pound quarterback. Like, it's just really odd at times, but I'll take the dub. I was shocked that they didn't end up. I'm shocked Chris Godwin didn't catch the ball at the end of the game because I thought they won. That I felt so weird after it, but I'll take the dubs where I can get them.
Well, how about this? Your Bills play on Thursday night. That means that you got nothing standing in the way of you watching Tyson Bagent and the Chicago Bears at the Chargers Sunday night as his road to Canton continues.
I know. I'm excited for it. I was really excited last week as well to see Peterman play a tiny bit, but
yeah.
Bagent, legend continues, and it's going on Sunday Night Football. You've got which arm talent even is greater, Herbert's or Bagent's, when they put Peterman in for the Hail Mary. It'll be fun. I am excited to see what he can do in a prime time setting. I saw that last night. I didn't know that was a Sunday night game until last night. I saw it. I was like, oh my God. And I saw Raiders Lions Monday night. I was like, oh, what is going on with the world? I am excited to see what Bagent does Sunday night.
You think your Bills will trade for Derrick Henry or anybody for that matter?
Derrick Henry, I don't think. I mean, they could. They've been linked with him for a bunch of years now, but this is the year I kind of don't want it to happen because I kind of just want to see what James Cook can do for a full year. When Singletary was there, I was open to it, like very open to it. Like pushing them towards it, but now that James Cook's there, I want to see what he can do in a full year as the starter. As for other people, I mean, they're the favorites to get Devontae Adams, but they were also the favorites to get DeAndre Hopkins and Odell Beckham, and then those two never materialized. So I feel like it would be like a situation where, remember when the Cubs were linked with Bryce Harper and they ended up getting Daniel Descalzo instead? That's kind of what I'm feeling with this situation with the Bills, where they're going to get like linked all these big names, and then they're going to get somebody like. Like Josh Norman, they brought in Josh Norman off the freaking couch, and he suited up last night. He's 35 years old, so that's what I'm kind of expecting. But it'd be really cool to get a Devontae Adams or someone like that. So I wouldn't complain if they got Derrick Henry.
Thanks for bringing up that great Cubs memory. I appreciate that. I gotta ask you about Minnesota's 12-10 win over Iowa and Fair Catchgate. I mean, what the hell do you think about how that went down? Last Saturday at Kinnick.
It's one of the weirdest calls I think I've ever, and that's putting it nicely. That is one of the strangest things I've ever seen in my life. But on the flip side, there's no reason Iowa should ever be in that situation where a failed, whatever you want to call it, fair catch, which it clearly wasn't, but what the refs call it, that's fine. Well, you shouldn't take that play to either win or lose a game against a bad Minnesota team that lost to Northwestern earlier this year. It shouldn't take that. And that's kind of like, I hope it's the wake-up call for the people that say this offense can lead this team to a Big Ten title, because they had -8 yards at one point in the second half. Mm-hmm. Like, they did absolutely nothing. And this play kind of like masks that. You're like, hey, forget what our offense did. That's why we lost the game right there. You scored 10 points against Minnesota. Like, that's That is depressing. And I hate it that it happened, and it just made it even worse that the Cooper DeJean play, who's just this insanely freak talent that Iowa has, gets that taken away from him. And it sucks, but I guess you go into the bye week, you have some extra motivation going against a team that beat Minnesota earlier this year in Northwestern. So we'll see how that one goes.
Yeah, beat up on those nerds so you can feel better about yourself, Iowa. Iowa State at Baylor, was talking about that in the previous segment with Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Logan. But, hey, these Cyclones, man, they've been making pretty steady improvement ever since basically kind of like the bottom fell out when they lost at Ohio back in the non-conference. So credit to them. I mean, they've stuck to it. They've improved. Rocco Beck, their quarterback, is improving. Baylor really needs a win tomorrow. What do you think about this game? The Clones are currently a three-point favorite.
Yeah, that offense is like, you could tell Nate Shieldhouse was a first-year offensive coordinator those first few games, but now he's kind of gotten to that rhythm like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The Oklahoma State game, it looked really good. They looked good for a half, barring the pick six against Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They obviously had good games against TCU and Cincinnati. Like, they've been on a nice little stretch right now. And Baylor, yeah, they got a win last week, it was last week. And they're going to try to build on that, but I didn't think I'd say this at the beginning of the year, but I think Iowa State should win this game at Baylor. I didn't think we'd be talking about a scenario where Iowa State is 5-3. I never thought I'd see a world where the Cyclones and the Phillies have the exact same record, but I think that's what we're going to see after this game on Saturday. But, yeah, it's getting better, and that's all you can ask for. There's a bunch of question marks going into the season. Beck looks solid, and you just keep building on that. Hey, who knows? Maybe there's a dark horse Big 12 title run.
Yeah.
In their midst. That game against Texas could get really interesting, especially with Ewers out, too. So that we're building up towards that game. The Iowa State random win that they should never win game of the year is coming up. So I think they can get a win against Baylor. I think they should probably get it on the road. But, yeah, I think the Cyclones are doing well. I think they can get a dub here.
I'm not ruling anything out just yet in the Big 12, the way that conference has played out over recent years. Switching to you and I on the road at Illinois State. What a dominant win for the Panthers, 27-0 against then number 9 North Dakota last week. It was a couple big headlines coming out of that game. Amari Pesek Hickson, the running back turned linebacker, turned back into a running back, goes for 180 and a tutty on 31 carries. Really just such a difference maker, that decision being made and him delivering like he did. And then meanwhile, you got a shutout going on. So there was like four or five moves, I think four personnel adjustments with the defense. And then they also got Caden Hotelling back at defensive end. That seemed to just, his presence alone seemed to have a trickle-down effect on that UNI defensive line. A lot of positives coming out of that win. And meanwhile, Illinois State's backs against the wall after a late loss to Youngstown State. But curious to get your thoughts on the Panthers after that big win last Saturday.
I'm not going to lie, that it threw me off. It really did. A win was not out of the question, obviously, especially being at home, but going up against the North Dakota team that absolutely dominated North Dakota State earlier that year, it was like, man, this is especially coming off a loss to South Dakota State, it's like, man, this is not coming at a great time. But to not only win, but pitch a shutout, what was it, their first top 10 shutout in school history something?
Yeah, yep.
So like even more so to celebrate that game. And Illinois State is always just a really tough team. You can never really get a good read on. Like, they were really close last week.
Mm-hmm.
They got a good, solid team. And, you know, UNI, it's been one of those teams where it's been kind of up and down against Illinois State. It's one of those weirder games. But, hey, you know what? Keep riding the wave. Keep riding the wave. You pitched a shutout last week. You got some things going in the running game. Like, hey, 31 carries is impressive, let alone for a guy that's transitioning to running back. That is really impressive. So let's see them stack wins again. I'm going to get a nice win against the Redbirds.
All right, we're running out of time here. Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast, our guest right now on a Football Friday edition of Cole & Company. Follow him on X at Logan_Blackman. Logan, real quick, before picks, tell everybody about your last podcast, where they can hear it.
So you can go on to Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We go through, we're sitting there watching some football. You know, we were watching the World Series, not football. I'm used to saying watching football, but I did that again. Watching the NLCS, not the World Series. I did that to my dad the other day. We sit down, go over some of our quarterback rankings for the draft, go over some stories. Well, went down to Oskaloosa this past week and watched William Penn at homecoming. And you can hear me complain a lot about the Iowa game. You can hear me complain a lot about the Bills' embarrassing game against the Patriots. It's a lot of fun. If you want to hear me mad, then yeah, go listen to that show. But my dad had to stop listening because it raised his blood pressure a little too much. So, but it's a good listen. I'm biased, of course, but Apple Podcasts and Spotify, search Logan Blattman Show. It should pop up for you.
All right, check it out, everybody. Quickly, picks. I'll just rip off my three, and then you follow. I'm going to take Iowa State -3 at Baylor. I like that pick. I'm not in love with it. These next two, I feel better about. Kansas +10 points at home against Oklahoma. I feel like this is maybe a little bit of a trap game here, and I like me the Fighting Leipolds. So I like Kansas with that number +10 against the Sooners tomorrow. And the one that I really like, which is probably a jinx, but I like Utah getting 6.5 points at home against Oregon, Logan. I really like that one. So what do you have?
I did almost pick that one, but I'm going to go a little safer than I did last week where I picked a bunch of -20s. So we're going to go a little safe. We're going to go BYU. They're 20-point dogs on the road against Texas. Again, Brock Quinn Ewers is out. We'll see how Malik Murphy does in his first game as a starter. But I'm going to take Slovis, covering 20. Texas didn't really play anywhere as well as I thought they did last week. So, this is my revenge game on Texas. So we're going to need BYU to come up big here. Tennessee, they're 4.5-point favorites against Kentucky. Kentucky's lost their last two games. Tennessee looked good in the first half against Bama and then, completely fell apart defensively in the second half. But I think they're going to bounce back in this game against Kentucky on the road. As in North Carolina, speaking of comebacks, after a really weird loss to Virginia last week, they're going against Georgia Tech this Saturday. They're 12-point favorites. I think Drake May and co. could bounce back in a big way. I'm going to take the Tar Heels role in that one in Atlanta on Saturday.
Great stuff, Logan. Appreciate it as always. Enjoy the weekend of football.
Yep, you too.
All right, we'll take the final timeout. We'll get you Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary during the break. Come back and wrap up the show.
Team Moments, brought to you by John Deere. Automatically pair your tractor to your combine with Machine Sync for a game-winning harvest.
Iowa State spoiled Cincinnati's homecoming with a 30-10 win. The Cyclones were impressive on both sides of the ball.
Back to throw, fires deep down the right side. As Higgins down the sideline, he's got it. Inside the 30, inside the 20, inside the 10, and finally run out of bounds deep in Cincinnati territory.
Rocco Becht threw a 75-yard pass and added two touchdowns and ran for another. And the defense aided in the victory with three interceptions.
And now from the shotgun, Emory Jones. Here we go. He will look to throw it and fires to the left side. Intercepted by TJ Tampa at the 34-yard line. A diving interception for Tampa.
For your great team moment, automate your unloading with Machine Sync and never drop another pass. Grain pass. Again, see your John Deere dealer.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. After four straight double-digit victory seasons, the Buffalo Bills have become a steady Super Bowl contender. This season, however, the team hasn't looked like the force we've grown accustomed to. The team lost to the Zach Wilson-led Jets in the season opener, barely squeezed by the Giants, and suffered a brutal loss to a then-one-win Patriots team. Last night, 6-point win over the Buccaneers wasn't pretty, but we have to be fair to Buffalo. The team was in a lose-lose position last night. If they fell to Tampa Bay, they would have fallen to 500. And even in a win, critics will claim the Bills were clearly the better team and the win was expected. But nothing is guaranteed in the NFL, especially coming off a short work week. The Bucs host one of the league's better defenses and are equipped with a duo of all-pro caliber receivers. The Bills don't care about covering the spread or any style points. All that matters is getting one in the win column. And Buffalo added to theirs last night. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Buy a seat for the Breeders' Cup World Championships, and chances are you won't use all of it, just the edge, because that's where the experience will have you, on the edge of your seat to witness the brightest stars from around the world, on the edge of your seat for the long shots, the upsets, and an experience that's truly a breed apart. November 3rd and 4th at Santa Anita Park, they'll come from around the globe to keep you on the edge of your seat. You can get your tickets today at breederscup.com. If you like using debit over credit, don't you think it's time you also got rewarded? Well, now you can with Discover Cashback Debit. It's a checking account that rewards everyone with cashback on everyday purchases. Plus, you're not charged any account fees, period. Whether you're moving, starting a new job, or headed into that next stage of your life, whatever it is, Discover Cashback Debit is for everyone. Check out eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC.
Bust it.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show, with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Offensively, we turned it over three times, and we got to take better care of the football. But we also forced key turnovers defensively. So that's got to be a real emphasis for us. I think it's going to come down to, you know, when you got two good teams, physical teams, fundamental teams, it's going to come down to those turnovers. And I think the kicking game is going to influence it also, the outcome.
That is Cedar Falls High School football coach Brad Remmert talking about what might make the difference tonight in the Tigers' first round Class 5A playoff game at the Unidome against Cedar Rapids Kennedy. Here's Coach's follow-up talking about the keys for a win for the Tigers over the Cougars.
Offensively, we're going to have to win more downs than we lose. They've got an aggressive defense that they move people around a lot, and they can cause you some problems by getting in your backfield. We just have to be physical, lock on people, and get ourselves into manageable downs and stay ahead of the chains, per se. And on defense, we got to limit their big play. You know, we didn't allow number four to get after us too much the other game that we played against him. He's their big play guy. He's got 978 yards and 11 touchdowns. So we got to know where he is and try to limit those big, quick strike plays to him.
Best of luck to the Tigers tonight. Listen to the game over on Cruising KCFI, 1250 AM, 105.1 FM. Pre-game coverage with Dave Finnegan coming up around 625. Waterloo Blackhawks hockey up next here on The Fan. The Hawks hosting Lincoln. Pre-game at 645. Have a great weekend, everybody. Back Monday at 5.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.